You are now tuned in to the Nancy Ruffin Show.
Welcome back to a new season of the Nancy Ruffin Show. I'm so excited to be back. I'm even more excited for the guest that I'm having on today's episode. It is none other than Superwoman, serial entrepreneur, super mama, Rosa Garcia. Rosa is a phenom. This woman has been able to reinvent herself so many times. And on this episode, we're going to get into her story. We're going to learn a little bit about her personal life. And we're going to learn how she has been able to not only keep her existing businesses running amidst this pandemic, but how she also managed to launch a brand new business right smack in the middle of COVID-19. So stay tuned. When we come back, I will be joined by Rosa.
My name is Avery Ruffin, and you're listening to The Nancy Ruffin Show.
So as promised, I have the incomparable Rosa Garcia. She is one badass woman, and I'm honored to have her on this first episode of the new season. So Rosa, welcome. Thank you for
being here. Thank you for having me. I am honored to be on your podcast. I mean, I've been dying to be on. I love Nancy. Nancy can say, Rosa, are we going skydiving tomorrow? I'm like, okay, I'll be there. Whatever you want, whatever you need, you can come.
I'm grateful for that. And you know, I feel the exact same way about you. And I think that is a testament of nurturing and building our relationship, you know, and I think it's something that you do very well. You're able to connect with women, you know, and you don't connect with them in a very superficial way. Like when you connect with someone, you are intentional about those relationships that
and about helping making. Them. Yeah.
Have you always been that way?
I've always been a giver, yes, but I've always been like kind of like the quiet person in the background. But I do have to say for those listening that if it wasn't for Nancy putting me on the spot, okay, back in 2015 and putting me to talk in front of a panel of like a group of women, I would not be as confident with my whole, with my speaking in front of an audience because it was in there, but you kind of like told me like, stop doubting yourself.
I think that's what happens with a lot of us, right? Sometimes we don't realize these gifts that we have laying dormant inside of us. And it isn't until someone else kind of forces us or pushes us and challenges us to really go beyond our comfort level and do it. So I mean, I remember that day. I remember how
you
were.
Oh, my God. I still have the video.
and you did amazing.
And I think that's like something you and I have in common because you saw that in me. Like, girl, you could do it. Come on. And I stopped doubting myself. And ever since then, I've been more confident in the way that I speak. So a lot of times when I do these women empowerment or I do certain events with women around it, I see what they're capable of doing as well. Kind of like what you did for me. Now I'm kind of like passing the torch to other women. To really see, like, you have the potential, and the only person stopping you is yourself.
Oh, that is so true. And I think that the minute we allow ourselves to get out of our own way, that is when we really start to soar. And, you know, I don't want to take away from fear because fear is a very real thing that we experience, like, when we're in it. But, and I think you can attest to this, you're only afraid until the moment you jump, right? It's those moments leading up to the actual time that you do it. Because once you step across that line
it
goes away.
The reason why we're afraid is because we create the scenario of what the the, you know, what's going to happen before it even happens. So even when you go to a job interview, you're already scared. Like, are they going to hire me? Do I look good? Am I, you know, the right fit? You're already doubting yourself before even stepping foot into the door. So you have to just believe in yourself and know that if something doesn't go right, it doesn't mean that you were not the right person for it. It just means that something better and bigger is out there for you and it's going to come.
You know, and it's strange that you speak about fear because I feel that so much of what you have done has been you stepping out of your comfort zone. Things that are like just shocking and that are so scary for the average person, that the fact that you were afraid to just speak in front of a crowd, it kind of just leaves me like in shock because you are the same woman who stepped into Mott Haven Bar after Hurricane Sandy and said, you know what? I'm going to take over this establishment and I'm going to run this business.
Yes. And now 7 years, 7 years in November, I will be there at Mott Haven Bar. And just recently, then I just opened a cafe. Everybody's like, you must be crazy opening a cafe during this pandemic. But you have to take risk. I think life is all about taking risks. Tomorrow is never promised. And we don't know till when are we here. So you either enjoy it or you limit yourself and just pretty much leave this world with, regrets, which I don't want to have. I rather take every stepping stone as a learning lesson. And if I fail, then I know how to do it better the next time.
And how much of that are you teaching your own girls? Because you have two young daughters, you know, and you are one of the most inspiring women that I know. And just because I have two girls myself, and so I know I'm very intentional about how I move, the things that I do, what I say to them. How is the things that you're doing influencing how you parent your daughters?
Well, my girls, I mean, just with kids in general, just when you think they're not listening or paying attention, they are listening to everything and paying attention, and they try to replicate your behavior. So with my 13-year-old, I started bringing her to the pop-ups that I have every weekend. Mm-hmm. And before I know it, she started making beads. So now she has her own little table and she sells her beads. She sells pins for the Crocs for kids and she's saving her money. And I'm teaching her that if it's a need, then mommy will get it for you. If it's a want, you're going to have to. I'll go half with you on that. So she has an iPad. She has a phone, but she wanted that new iPad. I'm like, okay, I'll go half with you. And she did, and she has her money. And I opened a bank account for her so she knows what it is to use her money. And with my little one, that little girl is like, she is, I would say she's the best version of me that I was afraid to bring out when I was a kid because I was limited by my parents. But she is very outspoken, very loving. She loves to clean. She follows me. If I'm cleaning, Chloe's cleaning. If I'm doing laundry, Chloe wants to put the detergent in the thing, and I allow her to. Now that I'm trying to make her grow faster, but I want her to know that it's okay if she wants to learn, I'm open to the idea.
Right. And, you know, and I think at that age, because I think Chloe and Alexa are about the same age.
Four.
Yeah, minus four as well. They do want to do everything that we're doing, but they're going to grow out of that. They're not going to always want to clean. They're not going
to when it's time for them to clean, they're not going to want to do it.
Right. So I think that allowing her to pursue the things that are of interest to her right now, I think is good. But do you see any differences in how you're raising them versus how you were raised?
Girl, huge. Well, for those that don't know, I was born in the ER. So I came here when I was nine. For my upbringing, it was carrying water from the well, taking knitting classes. I didn't really have a childhood because it's like the rooster is going off. Rosa had to get up, sweep the background, age of 6 and 7, carry water from the well. While my mother's washing laundry by hand, help my grandmother with breakfast, and then help her with lunch. And the little bit of time that I had to play, you know, it was very limited. But it was always about studies, learning how to braid, learning how to knit, how to help your grandparents. So I like that the family foundation was built there. However, that one-on-one motherly daughter love was not there from the beginning. So that's what I'm doing different with my kids. Like my kids, the I love yous are there every single day, probably every 10 minutes. So my 13-year-old, she kisses me so much and hugs me so much that sometimes I'm like, okay, you're doing it too much in my head. Right. But I know that I don't want to stop her from doing that because right. that's not something that I receive, but I'm adjusting to taking it little by little. But she is super loving, that little girl. So sometimes I feel like they can kind of sense when I'm having a rough day because they are more loving than anything else.
And I think that's also how you know that you're raising them right. You know, because yes. I think we want to give them, you know, we want them to be ambitious. We want them to be able to go out there and make a life of their own. But I think that overall what we want for our children is that they're kind, they're empathetic, that they care about other people, right? Yes. And I think that the fact that they're that way with you just shows the kind of human beings they're growing into. Because, you know, research shows that the relationship that we have, you know, in our childhood with our primary caregivers affects who we become as adults.
Yeah. Because even me growing with my parents, and I don't know if you can relate, but you had to think twice before you tell your parents, like, hey, mom, you know, can we do ABC instead of you going to work or instead of you going out with your friends? Where my kids are very outspoken. Mariah would sit me down, my 13-year-old, she goes, mom, you know, you're working a lot, you know, can you be home a little bit more often? Or can you, I know you're busy, but can you be here for dinner? You know, not so much to just put us to bed. So I like that kind of feedback from my kids. And I don't take it in a negative way, where if we do that to our parents, you get smacked across your face, you know, back in the days where you couldn't tell your parents, or you can't go to work and you can't go out. But I like the fact that I build that communication and that trust with my kids because I'm not perfect. No one is perfect. Right. But if I'm doing something and I could do it better, who else than my kids to tell me, like, I miss you and I want you to be here a little bit more, and I work on it.
And that's amazing that you're developing that relationship with them. Not only now as they're younger, but as they grow up, you want to make sure that you have those lines of communication open. You know, children deal with so much that I think as adults, even though we were children and even though we dealt with our own issues, they're faced with so much more today. When you think about the internet, when you think about the bullying on social media, like there's so much pressure, and you want to make sure that whenever they're experiencing something that they feel comfortable enough to say, hey, mom, I'm going through this and I need your help or I need your advice, which is something that I don't think we did.
We didn't have
with
that.
Our parents. We're not asking for advice.
No. And even like with, you know, with what you do with the vision boards and having these women events, we didn't have that growing up. So it's like we're still in the learning process. And with my kids, as anything and everything that I can do to make sure that they are better than how I was at that age, then I'm open to it.
You know, and you're someone who is very committed to your personal development and your growth and self-help.
My mind, girl.
Like, you have just taken whatever tools I initially gave you and you have just like multiplied
it. Quadruple.
Yes. You know, and so I guess, why do you spend so much time or invest so much in yourself, in your healing, in your growth?
Well, I mean, as you remember, part of my speech with you back in 2015 was because, you know, my mom trying to commit suicide, my sister tried to commit suicide. So I do know that the mindset is a very strong tool, and you have to make sure you take charge of it or else it will take charge of you. So I do know that in my family, I'm not saying that anyone is weak-minded, but I just know that you could allow your outside take control of you and make you do things that you might regret later on. I've never had that kind of mentality, but I do know that if you don't have the right mindset, you know, stress could cause anxiety. Anxiety could send you to a mental breakdown. And I have to make sure that I'm not just okay on the outside, but externally, I have to be okay. And these are things that we don't see because a lot of people walking around here, like everything is sweet and dandy, but they are dying on the inside. And I'd rather take care of my inside first and look like whatever on the outside. Because my mind, I have to make sure I sleep well at night. I'm not overstepping anybody or doing something mean to someone just to be a better person. I don't need to make fun of anyone. I don't have to hurt anyone, you know, to get to where I need to go. I am a big God believer. I pray every morning. I give thanks for me coming in. And I do believe that with the grace of God, that if I continue to be a good human being, then maybe I'll be surrounded with great human beings myself.
And I think that that is exactly what you have cultivated in your life. Just even me looking at you, and I see how much you've grown these past 5 years. I see how many women you have helped, and you're continuing, you know, to help. And I think that it's important, and it's important that, you know, the way that you share, that all you're doing is paying it forward. And like, for me, that was my hope when I started The Fierce Woman, to be able to provide women with certain tools, resources, help them get started. And then as they continue on their own journeys, to be able to do that or better or more, you know, for someone else. Because I think that as women, we already have the cards stacked against us.
Yes.
You know, when you think about how hard it is for us to succeed just in business alone, you know, that's one thing. Then when you think about how we're pitted against each other to compete, you know, for other things, for the attention of men, for who's more beautiful, it becomes very emotionally taxing.
Too much. Yeah. You know? And like you said about men, in my 20s, you know, I had to be in a relationship. Like, I couldn't be Rosa without being in a relationship. So I would jump from one to the next. In my 30s, I am so much happy with myself, enjoying my time with me. Now, I mean, of course, I love time with my kids, but just in talking about myself, I like being by myself. And anyone that comes into my life, like right now, I have a boyfriend, but it's like, I'm happy, but it's not, it doesn't make me the person that I am. And right. I think that's what people miss. People sometimes settle, or they want to be in a relationship because of their age. Oh my God, I'm almost 40 and I'm not married. So then you jump to the first person that either is not being good to you physically, verbally, or whatever, and you're settling, and then you're unhappy, and then you give yourself anxiety. And it's like a, what's it called? When you have a domino effect?
Yes, a domino effect. Yes.
No.
And you make a good point that you have to be happy with yourself first.
In order to make somebody else happy.
Because if you're not happy with yourself, it doesn't matter who comes into your life. You're never going to be happy. You might think you're happy in the beginning stages, but then what ends up happening is that you start to compromise a lot of who you are or what you want to be with this person, because you don't want them to leave you and you don't want to lose them. And like you said, then you end up settling.
And you start losing yourself.
Right.
Because now, who are you?
Right.
Now you change to 30, 40% of yourself for this person to accept you. And then when this person leaves, then you have to recreate yourself one more time. Right. And God forbid somebody else comes. Now you created yourself to fit to that person's needs. If you come whole in a relationship, you shouldn't have to change anything about yourself.
You know, so you mentioned that you like to spend time alone. And I like
love
that
my me time. I'm an Aquarius. I need my me time.
I'm the same way, but I also think it's because we do so much and we're always around people.
Shut my freaking brain out. Yeah.
That we just crave the time by ourselves. Not that we don't want to be with our partners or be with our children, but we really need that time to kind of reconnect with ourselves. And one of the things that you do that I absolutely love, and it's going to be on my bucket list of things to do, is that you take solo vacations. You go away by yourself.
I'm planning my 40th already for January, and I want to go by myself. And I know it's my birthday, and my partner doesn't really understand, but he needs to understand. It's just, and I want to go to a place, like, hopefully, you know, like, you know what they say, put it out in the universe. I will be going to Bali because I did my research that it's a great place for, like, meditation and just, you know, connecting. Yeah. And no, I'm not changing my religion. I just want to still continue to get that internal peace, and just relax. And I'm not a party person. I'm going to be 40. I could party here and there when I want to, but for certain things that are meaningful, like my birthdays, I always try to bring them with learning experiences.
Right.
Yeah, to be a better version for that year coming.
And I think that that is so important. And I think it's something I want to stress, particularly to whoever's listening right now, whoever's watching, that demanding that time for yourself,
it's important,
is necessary. Like, and you should do it without feeling guilty, without feeling bad. One thing that we have to remember, like, we were born alone, unless you're like a twin.
And you go alone, so, honey.
And you go alone. And so we spend so much of our time while we're living surrounded by people and in constant noise, that if you're not intentional about taking that time for yourself, you can lose yourself in that way as well.
Yeah, because you're always going to keep putting yourself last to please everybody else around you. So, and then you're going to regret them for it. But you can't even regret them because you made the choice to allow them to change your plans that you originally had. So I don't allow anybody to change my plans. He wants to take me out, he can take me out after I come back from my vacation, or he can take me out the week before, but I'm going on this vacation by myself.
So you're a super busy woman. How did you manage to find or to build and nurture this relationship?
Girl, I still don't know. I honestly, I mean, I tell him though, I'm not an easy person to deal with because I do have a busy schedule and I wanted to choke him 300 days out of the 365 in the year. But when I tell you, he is a Cancer and he has the patience of a God. I give him. I feel like God puts you with people that are going to balance you in situations where you're weak. I'm weak with patience, meaning I don't have any patience. I want something. I want to get it done now, now, now. Him is like, take your time. We'll do it now. And I'm just like, meditation, mine. Yeah. But with him, again, he understands that I have a busy schedule. He's still adjusting to the fact that with my busy schedule, I also need my me time. But I tried. Like right now, he wants to go on a weekend getaway. But I'm like, well, weekend getaway, can I go? I just opened a cafe a week ago. And the next weekend off, my kids come first. So I have to spend time with my kids first. And sometimes that's, I need to find that balance of, okay, I need to spend time with my kids, but then I can also bring him along with my kids. Because I do know my kids need that me time with mommy.
Right.
And he understands that. So yeah, he just has to wait, you know?
I think that it's beautiful that you've been able to find a partner that understands what your priorities are, because I think a lot of times men want to be the priority. Like they want to be first.
To be top. Yeah. No, my kids.
Know, and the fact that you're honest about it, you know, and that you're not, and that you recognize, you know, you have these other priorities, but you still, try to make sure that you have the time for him as well.
Yeah.
I think, again, so many of us just want to be in relationships that we sacrifice everything and anything to be with someone. And then what happens is 1, 2, 3 years down the line when we want to start reclaiming back our time or our life.
You can't do it. Right. Then you start switching things up and then it looks suspect. So,
right.
Yeah, no.
So I want to shift a little bit. I want to talk about how amidst this pandemic, you know, with so many people losing so much, you know, people have lost their lives, they've lost loved ones, people have lost jobs, you know, businesses have shut down. How have you been able to, one, keep your existing businesses open and thriving, but then also launch a brand new business right smack in the middle of COVID-19?
Well, when this whole COVID started in March, I was closed for 2 weeks. I tried the whole pickup delivery. It didn't really make sense. The overhead was way more money than the deliveries that were coming in. Well, as soon as I, of course, right away, I get to on my computer to see what's going on. I see what's happening on social media, and Bronx Pick reach out to me. And they're like, hey, World Central Kitchen is looking for restaurants to make essential meals. I'm like, what are the details? They're like, okay, they tell you how many meals they need per day for the week, Monday through Saturday, and they pay you to make these meals. I'm like, I don't care what the heck they pay me. I want to do it.
Right.
And a week later, I started doing, we were doing about 3,000 meals a week out of my kitchen. And we've been working with them since the first week of April. So luckily, I have been working nonstop 6 days a week. I started then opening more contracts with the, Don from It was two other accounts. Girl, I can't keep up with names. But I opened three accounts where I was making essential meals. I was giving off produce bags. And I wanted more and more and more. I just wanted to not just be able to give back, because they were also giving me produce bags to give back. But then I started joining other chefs and giving food to like CUNY students mm-hmm. 2 days a week, which I'm still doing. Right now it's going to start to die down, the orders. Right. I'm hoping that they don't, you know, stop overall, because the outdoor dining, which started just a few weeks ago, is going to end in October. So right. Now my fear is what's going to happen if we don't have indoor dining in the five boroughs.
So I'm just listen, we can speculate. You better than anyone knows that God always provides, right? Just when you don't see like anything on the horizon, little by little, all of a sudden you see the light. Right.
Girl, I see light. Tunnel. Okay. I have a bunch of little holes right now coming through.
Right.
God is showing me the light. I mean, he showed me the light with this cafe, which I had it ready literally a week or two before the pandemic. And then that's when I decided to open it. And there is another little light coming through that hopefully by January. Maybe I could announce it here for the first time.
Well, what is coming in January?
Okay, so I will be opening a restaurant in a hotel here in the Bronx. I signed the lease. Yay!
Congratulations!
Yes, that's going to be a big one, because I was able to sign up to be the only food and beverage. So I will be doing the continental breakfast for everyone staying in the hotel. And it will be a full hotel. It's going to have parking, and it's going to have a rooftop. So
nice.
Yeah. Hopefully
This is going to be business number three. This is going to, well, you have multiple businesses. You have Mott Haven, you have Create Cafe Now.
Yeah,
you have 31 Agency.
Yes.
And now this new restaurant.
Yeah, Mott Haven Hospitality.
Girl.
Yeah. And I just had a meeting in Harlem. Someone, one of the developers reached out to me like, hey, I just got this building on Frederick Douglass. You want to come by, maybe you can either consult me or partner up with me. So I'm like, I said, let me think about it. Let me see if I send you some ideas over the weekend. But I have to make sure that I don't Yeah, there you go. Because I need to make time for my kids. So money's not everything if I'm not enjoying it with my kids. So I got to see if maybe I bring in someone there, or I just do the consulting for him where I'll set it up 100% and just leave it up to him to see who wants to manage it.
So let me ask you this, like, was entrepreneurship something that you always wanted to do?
When I was in high school, I wanted to be a flight attendant.
A flight attendant.
Because I want to travel the world.
Yes, I could see that. I could see that.
I like how they look with the little blue thing, you know?
I
love people. So I like, would you like some nuts, you know? That would have been me, and I know it would be very nice to, you know, to everybody else. But and then now back in, before I opened the Mott Haven bar, I was going to hostels for nursing. Again, people, you know, having that people one-on-one. I wanted to be a nurse, which I still have the degree that I need to finish. I have 13 credits to do before I go into my nursing degree.
Oh wow, that's nothing.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. So I want to work at, you know, in the pediatric department.
Well, I don't know how you're going to do that when you're being a mogul and building all of these, you know, empires.
That's like my pillow to fall back on, you know. Oh. If this whole thing stops, then I could just go back to college and focus on my nursing degree.
So on this journey of being an entrepreneur, what has been your biggest challenge or hurdle?
I'm Alexa, and you're listening to my mommy.
My biggest challenge has been my landlord at Mott Haven Bar. Mm. I've been having a battle with him and I haven't really spoken about it, because I've been a person to always focus on the positive, not so much the negative.
Right.
And like you said, God is always showing you the light. So because I have a lot of blessings around me, I don't focus on the blessings that are trying to be taken away from me. And with him, we have been going at it for 3 years now, two and a half years or so, where we will be having to court. I just hired a lawyer yesterday. I just gave him a retainer because he terminated my lease last year.
Wow.
The moment, yeah. So he's the same person that gave me the loan to open my Haven Bar.
Oh, wow. Back
in 2013, yes. When I finished paying him the loan in 2017, he thought that I should still pay him the same amount of money. And I was like, why should I pay you the same amount of money when my loan is paid off? And right. that's when I decided to look at my lease. So when I looked at my lease, that's when I realized that I had overpaid him for almost $140,000. So I broke it down into spreadsheets, 2015, 2016, 2017. I used to be a bookkeeper, so numbers is my thing. So I broke it down to him. So when he realized that he owed me that much money, instead of him wanting to pay me back, he was like, well, let me bring someone in for you so they could partner up with you. And he brought in a lady to partner up with me. The partnership didn't work because it went from a partnership to her giving me an employee offer letter. So I'm like, okay, so you're telling me that I should be your employee, not partner. She goes, yeah, I'm not looking for a partner. And I was like, so what is my buyout? If you want me to be your employee, what is my buyout? Oh, I'll give you $20,000 for the equipment. I said, no, thank you. So I said no to her. And the good thing is I have everything in writing. Right. Because I said no to her, and he was hoping that that deal went through, so she will pay me, and that will be kind of like a finder's fee.
Right.
So he didn't have to pay me. He decided to terminate my lease. So when they terminate your lease, it becomes a holdover lease. So now he's charging me double the rent. Well, you can't do that.
Right.
You're only terminating my lease because you don't want to pay me what you owe me.
Right.
So now I had to get a lawyer to go over my lease. It's okay. We see how I don't talk about any of these things?
Yeah.
I'm not focused on it because I know deep in my heart I can sleep at night. God knows that I'm not trying to walk over him or take something that doesn't belong to me. I know the money is owed, and I'm sure I already ran out my credit. And if I owe you money, tell me and I'll pay you. But don't tell me that you're going to charge me double the rent because you don't want to pay me my money. But yeah, that's have been the biggest hurdle for me during this whole entrepreneurship.
These are the things though that people don't see, right?
No.
About entrepreneurship. Everyone wants to be their own boss.
Girl, okay? When you are your own boss, I'm telling you people, if you want to be an entrepreneur, be ready to save your coins because when the restaurant or your business goes down, you have to put money from your account back into the business. So it's not like I'm the last one to get paid. I'm the last to take vacation. There is no sick days for me. So little by little during this pandemic, I have been blessed to be able to shift some of my responsibility. Like I hire someone to go food shopping for me. But during the pandemic, I was the one going to Jetro every single day at 6 a.m. pushing that cart and filling up my car. I was the one buying liquor. I was doing everything for the restaurant. But now I'm like with two businesses, I hired a guy. I have him on a weekly salary. And he goes every day to Jetro. Whatever I need, he brings it to the two locations. And I don't have to deal with that. And I put someone to do the social media for 31 Agency and the cafe because I need that focus to be on those two because the restaurant, it's okay. It's already been there, established. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm learning to let go.
So, I mean, you're a woman. You're a Latina, woman of color.
Yes,
do you feel that being a woman of color has made it harder for you in this entrepreneurial space, or do you think that your experiences have been an advantage?
I think the fact that it has been men that have found me and be like, I like what you did with this location. Do you want to work here? So I wouldn't say that being a Latina has really, you know, helped me back to get to where I want to be. I'm very confident. I think whenever I speak to anybody, they know that I mean business and they could see on, you know, everything that I've been doing, that I take my job very serious and I deliver every single time. So I think my job speaks for itself. And so far, I have not had any issues with that. My only issue is just, you know, my landlord.
Well, hopefully that won't be much longer.
I'll let the lawyers handle this.
That's it, girl.
I don't have time for that. Anybody got time for that?
And so when you think back to who you were 5 years ago, right?
Yes.
To who you are today. In what ways would you say that you've changed?
I have grown in the sense that I don't make decisions based on people's opinions of me or how it will be. Like I cared a lot before of what people would think of me or is it going to be good enough for this person? Is it going to be good enough for this person? That when I became a business entrepreneur, not even my mom knew that I had a restaurant, because I didn't really want the title to really change who I was as a person. I still wanted to be that humble person before I became a business owner. And I'm still that same humble person. So I'm still not allowing any situation that comes my way or any blessings that come my way to really shift me from, you know, being a mean person or anything like that.
Yeah, because you're in the spotlight a lot. You know, I see.
And I'm still nice to everybody. So
yes,
it's like,
you are.
Yes. And I love helping people. And I'm very, you know, I'm very, I like helping. Like you, you know, I see that people have the potential, and we just have to kind of like remind them that everything is possible if you have the right mindset.
So I want to ask you, because for women who are as successful as you are, who are as kind as you are and genuine and really want to help others, that opens you up also sometimes for people who think they can take advantage of you or can get over on you. How do you deal with those kinds of people and those experiences where you still honor who you are, but you don't allow people to use you?
I kind of just remove them. I'm good at just removing people that if I feel like, oh, this person wants my help, okay, let me help you. But if I feel like there was a girl that reached out to me one time, she needed help with something, and I'm noticing that, okay, I'm reaching out to you because you need my help, but you're not really doing your part.
Right.
I'm doing like this. I'm like, delete, moving on. I can't really invest too much time into these people. And it has happened even with my own staff. I have had my own staff come at me on social media talking about, oh, who gets a car during a pandemic? Do not trust her. She's, you know, untrustworthy and da, da, da. When I saw that, you know, I'm Dominican and I'm from the Bronx. So I wanted to clap back. But I said, I'm not going to do that, because if not, my entire life, I'm going to continue to just clap back to these people.
Right.
So instead of me clapping back right away, I sent her a message. I'm like, hey, call me back if you want to talk, if there's something you want to talk about. Because I felt like, okay, maybe she's going through something. Mm-hmm. Maybe she wants to talk to somebody, and she just wants to, maybe that's her way of calling for help.
Getting attention.
I'm not going to say nothing to her, because I know, again, deep inside, I know everything I did was right. Why did I get a new car? Because my lease was up. That's why I got a new car. So people make these assumptions that I don't have time to entertain or explain to anybody why I do the things that I do. So my advice is, do not clap back to people on social media. Do not have to, you don't have to explain everything and anything that you do to anybody. You do things that work for you, and that's it. If you're happy with your decision, then you have to live with it.
But I also think that that takes a level of growth. Like, you have to be mature to get to that place where you say, you know what, you're not even worth my time. You're not worth a response.
No.
I recognize that your reaction has nothing to do with me. It's about what something you're going through internally.
Yeah.
With you.
Yeah.
And so I just want to add to what you said for those individuals who kind of find themselves in the clap back situation where they feel like they have to clap back, or they feel like they have to answer. I would challenge you to pause for a moment and look at yourself.
Or even look at the person that's coming after you. Like, is it even worth it?
Right. Just say, like, why do I feel the need to respond? Like, what's happening within me that needs to respond to this?
Yes.
And start looking at yourself versus that other person.
Yes. Yes. So I have grown so much to the point that I'm not talking back. I mean, I talk back if I have to. This once in a blue, you do have to professionally let people know you're not someone to just walk all over. But on social media, come on. I tell people, you know where I work, you know where I live, you know where to find me. If you have to come after me on social media, then I don't need to reply back to you.
Right. That's the easy way.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, so how do you deal with with stress or with situations that are beyond your control? Like the things that we can't control that can oftentimes just really shift us in a negative way.
I mean, the way that I've been dealing with my stress, I always try to find a solution to it. I feel like the stress, whatever caused you to get stressed has a solution to it. So if you take a step back and you focus on the situation that's stressing you, how can you fix it? or sometimes I listen to music and I get back to my normal self. And I have been gracefully, thank God, I have been able to find a solution to every single problem that has been stressing me. And I just try to stay calm and collected, because I feel like when you allow stress to get to you, you don't really have a clear mindset and you don't really mm-hmm. see things very clearly. So I try to stay focused.
You know, one of the things I love about your social media is the karaoke.
The top of the morning.
Yeah. And I know that you had mentioned you were launching a podcast. Are you still interested in doing that?
I know I need to. I started my notes. I bought the little stand that follows you, you know, when you move your face. I'm going to start it at the coffee shop with behind the, so it's kind of like, you know, coffee, the top of the morning with my cup of coffee. I am going to have kind of like a lineup of people that I want to just have there with me. And of course you're coming.
Of course, girl, you just let me know whatever you need.
Yes.
I think that's so dope. I think that you have so much wisdom to share with people, just because you have so many lived experiences, and you have so many lessons learned. And I think people really need to see that. You know, they see you're beautiful, you're successful, you're a mom, you're doing all of these things, but none of that was given to you. All of that required hard work. Still, every day you got to wake up every day and go to work.
For almost a month, I had to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. That really kicked me. I mean, I went from 5 o'clock to 4:30, but having to wake up at 3 to make an additional 300 meals, that really, like, my body was like, if you don't go to sleep, I'm going to put you to sleep. So I'm learning to listen to my body.
Yeah, well, I'm happy, because I know I would tell you all the time, you need to go home and get some rest.
Is that I don't take naps. So it's like I wake up. The other day, I went to sleep, I think, at 8 o'clock because my allergies were really bad. And I woke up at 11. Like, I thought I overslept because I'm so used to sleeping 3 hours.
Right.
That my body automatically wakes up.
Well, you have to listen to your body.
I haven't been that stubborn lately.
Because we want you well. You know, physically, spiritually, all of that.
Mentally, everything.
So... let me ask you this. I'm going to wrap up soon because I know you're busy. I don't want to keep you anymore, I have a couple of more questions. What is your dream for your life? Like, when you look back, when you're 85 years old with your grandkids surrounding you and you're telling them about your life, right? Mm-hmm. What does your ideal life look like back then? What are you most proud of?
I think in my 80s, what I would like to look back and tell my grandkids is just to not sacrifice who you are for others, because you are going to spend the rest of your life really trying to find yourself. So my goal right now, as I'm getting to 40, is just being happy, not stepping over anyone's toes, just to get to that happy place in my life. And being the best role model I can for my kids. So when I'm not here, I'm confident that they will be able to take care of themselves and be a better mom for their own kids. So that's what I want.
And what advice would you give to 20-year-old Rosa, knowing everything you know now about your life, about what you've gone through, about what you've overcome, right? Because when we're 20, whatever we're going through at that age, we feel like it's the end of our lives.
Yes.
Right. But knowing everything that you've survived up until this point, what would you tell your younger self?
If I could, in my 20s, I wish I would have seen a therapist sooner. Because I think it would have helped me deal with my past a little bit, you know, better and sooner, and gotten me in a more understandable state of mind about, okay, your past is the past and you have full control of this moment moving forward. Because I think, like, in my 20s, I was still resenting my parents and I was still trying to hold on to, like, well, they could have done this, or I want a better relationship with my mom. But yeah, I would have definitely wanted to see a therapist and maybe move a little bit more in silence, because I feel like in my 20s, when you talk so much to people about plans that you want to do, they start making you doubt yourself. So I feel like in my 20s, I doubted myself a lot. for me expressing what I wanted to do with myself to other people, and then them shutting it down, like, you sure you could do this? You should. And I didn't do a lot of things just because of that. So I wish I didn't listen to a lot of people.
And being a mother,
yeah, what has, best thing that ever happened to me.
What has motherhood taught you about yourself?
Well, with Mariah, I mean, she was my first, 2007. That little girl, I will say she gave meaning, more meaning. My life had meaning, but she definitely put the word meaning to my life. And she kind of like put that key in the ignition to really mm-hmm. push, like, there's no limit here. We're going to get to wherever we're going to get. And we're going to learn through all whatever mistakes we need to make. My kids complete me in a way that they are my motivation. And I thank God every day for my kids. I love them. And the fact that we're all the same sign.
That's crazy.
I know. I'm telling you. That's one thing I always say about God. God has a really great sense of humor. He knows how big I am on this whole Aquarius thing. And to give me two Aquarius. Come on. God loves me. Already there. I know he loves me.
They're Aquarius, but they're still very different.
We're all different.
In a lot of ways, right?
We're all different because I feel like Chloe is who I was at that age. Mariah is who I was at that age, where I was shy and timid and I wanted everybody to love me. So I'm kind of like, I'm already past that stage. So right. I know she's going to outgrow that. But right now she's at the point where she wants everybody to be her friend. She wants everybody to like her. And Chloe's like, I don't care who likes me, you know? I know that I'm allowing her on her own to really figure out, you know, who she is as a person, but to also know that she is enough. And if a person doesn't want to be your friend, then that's okay. You have me and Chloe.
And I think that that's excellent advice, not just for your daughters, but for all of us. You know, we, especially in this age of social media and likes and follower counts and all of that.
Don't follow.
Where people allow themselves to be defined by those things. Like, it's okay if people don't like you.
No.
As long as you like yourself.
Sometimes post videos. Yeah, sometimes people post videos and if they don't get enough likes, they take the picture down. Like, why are we doing that? Right. You know? It's your page. You could put whatever you want, but if you're going to do it for the right reasons. Don't do it because you want people to like. You have to do it because it's going to help you grow and be a better version of yourself.
So, what's next for Rosa? Aside from the thousand things you're already doing, you know, what's the hope for you, I guess, within the next 5 years? You've accomplished so much in these past five. What do the next five look like for you?
The next five, I would know for a fact, well, I will be putting my daughter through college, my teenager. That's a goal for me. But most importantly, it doesn't matter if it's now, 5 years from now, I just want to be happy. Like that is my key. Like if you're not happy with work, family, boyfriend, friendships or anything, you really are not going to be a successful person. So if, as long as I'm happy and as long as I continue to work on that peace of mind and I continue to grow, that's really what I want for myself.
That's excellent
advice. I just want to be happy. Kind of like the Beyonce song, you know?
Yeah.
Want to be happy.
And that should be everyone's goal, right?
Yes.
Because when you pursue true, genuine happiness, everything else kind of just falls into place.
Yes. You can't attach your happiness to anyone or anything. You have to be happy. And that's really what I want. I feel like you said, when I'm happy, then everything else would just flow. Yeah.
Well, Rosa, thank you so much for being
here. Thank you for having me.
It was, I literally can talk to you for hours.
I know.
Okay. but I'm not. We're going to save. The next conversation will be when I come on your podcast and we can continue our convo.
Well, I already tell you, you'll be my first and it's going to be about the mind. I already have a few questions, a few pointers that I want to talk about.
Sounds good. You just let me know. I'm there. And before I let you go, just let the audience know how they can connect with you, where they can find you, your businesses, all of that, because we want to make sure that they support you, not just, you know, social media support, but go to her businesses, buy a cup of coffee, go to Mott Haven, buy a t-shirt from 31 Agency.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, support this phenomenal Latina woman that is really doing so much for the culture.
Thank you. How can they find you? So you guys can find me on Instagram at MissMS_RG0131. My restaurant, it's My Haven Bar, located on 1 Bruckner Boulevard in the Bronx. And the Instagram is My Haven Bar. And I also have 31 Agency. And that is how you can also find it on social media. And I have my Create Cafe with the K, Create with a K Cafe, on social media as well. And I look forward to seeing you guys. And that one is also in the Bronx, 15 Canal Place.
Well, there you have it, guys. Now there's no excuse for you to not connect with Rosa, and stay tuned for all of the amazing things that she is doing and that she continues to do. She is out in the community. She is an activist, a philanthropist. Like, she is a woman of the people. And so she's very, you can connect with her. She's not one of these people that are untouchable. And I think that's what I love about you.
Thank you. So until next time, mi gente.
Go out there and crush those goals.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the Nancy Ruffin Show.